Might we sing number 2, the second hymn on the sheet? Come, 'tis Jesus gently calling, ye with care and toil oppressed, with your guilt, howe'er appalling, come, and I will give you. For your sin he once has suffered, on the cross the work was done, and the word by God now uttered to each weary soul is come. Let us rise to sing number 2. Gently calling, ye with care. Remain seated and sing the first and last verses of number 34, Precious, Precious Blood of Jesus Shed on Calvary. The first and last verses, number 34. Remain seated, please. Thank you. eternity. You and I cannot stay in this world. We must leave this world. We have to meet God someday. And we're glad tonight for so many who have come here. And I suppose there may be within the sound of our voice some who have no hope for eternity. I was standing a week ago or 10 days ago at the bedside of a dying friend of mine who I believe about a year ago received the Lord Jesus as his Savior. I knew he was a very, very ill man, and I leaned over and said to him, "Are you sure you're trusting the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And he said in a very weak voice, "Yes, yes, I am." And then I said to him, "Isn't it nice to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior?" And he said, "Yes, personal, personal." He meant a personal Savior. That man, 3 days later, 72 hours later, passed from time into God eternity. My friend, I ask tonight, if you were to pass from man's time into God's eternity, where would you be forever? This is a very solemn thing, isn't it? A very solemn thing. And tonight I would like to bring before you three men who had to do with God. Three men who trembled. Three men. Each of them made his decision. I would like you to turn first to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts. Here we find the man of religion. I suppose in these three men tonight, we have in this audience certain ones who would come under one of these three categories. The religious sinner. And second, the hardened sinner. And third, the careless sinner. I wonder what kind of a sinner you are tonight. Thank God, by his wondrous grace, I who stand here before you tonight am a sinner, saved by the grace of God. My sins are gone. And under the shelter of the precious blood of Christ, God has forgotten my sins forever. Maybe tonight there's somebody in this room that is suddenly awakened to the fact that this world is hopeless. You realize maybe for the first time in the last couple of years that things are going from bad to worse. And maybe tonight you've come here with a burden on your heart and you've come to the conclusion that you are a sinner and that there must be some way you can be right with God. Oh, I pray that somebody tonight may not hear only my voice, but hear the very voice of God. As in this book of books, the Word of God, the infallible Word of God, God says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Oh, many of us tonight in this room are happy. We have made two grand discoveries. We have discovered that we're sinners, and we've discovered that Christ is a Savior. And I pray tonight before this hour closes, you may make these two discoveries, that you are a sinner and that Christ is a Savior and the only Savior that God has for sinners. Now in this 9th chapter of Acts, just a few verses, let us start to read in the first verse, just down a few verses. "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and shall be told thee what thou must do. And I just want to read one more verse, the 20th verse, I think it is. The 20th verse. And straightway he, Saul of Tarsus, preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Now here we have a man of religion. If we just look at the third chapter of Philippians just a moment, see what kind of a man we have here who found himself in the presence of God trembling. The third chapter of Philippians, notice the fourth verse. The same Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, is now a saint of God, and he's writing to Philippi, and he says this, Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Oh, my friend, if you count, I believe you'll find seven things said about this man says of himself. He was an outstanding man, a man of religion, a man among men, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of Benjamin. Saul of Tarsus was no ordinary man. He was a man who rested on his religion, a man who trusted in the fact he was a man of religion, a man who could say, touching the law, I am blameless. And yet, in writing later on to Timothy, he says he was the chief of sinners. He persecuted the church of God. And as he went down the Damascus Road on that never-to-be-forgotten day, suddenly a light shined down from heaven. And Saul of Tarsus, the man of religion, the man who was a Pharisee, found himself in the presence of God. My friend, tonight I want to ask you earnestly and reverently, and in the name of my precious Savior, have you yet found yourself in God's presence? Have you yet found yourself in God's holy presence and found yourself trembling as you were in the presence of God? Maybe in your bedroom, maybe beside your bed, maybe you're a man who prays, maybe you kneel down to pray, maybe you're a man of religion, a man devout, a man who's proud of the fact that he is a man of religion. Maybe you're such tonight. And you come to this room like Saul of Tarsus. He thought it was a good thing. He thought that his enmity against the man who died on the cross of Calvary, he believed that man was an impostor. And he was determined to blot out from this earth the very name of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory. He had letters of authority to go down and arrest every Christian he found. But my friends, he found himself in the presence of God. He found himself down on the ground. And he heard a voice from heaven saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, Saul of Tarsus might have said, but Lord, I'm not persecuting you. I have respect for you. I believe you're the God of heaven. But when he put his hands on those Christians, he was putting his hands upon the very Christ of God. What a wonderful thing. What a marvelous thing that you and I, who are Christians here tonight, saved by the grace of God, are so very near and so very dear to the Savior's heart, that if somebody touches you or somebody touches me, they verily touch the very person of Christ. Why persecutest thou me? Because as Christians we are members of his body. What a glorious truth this is. My friend tonight, maybe you are a man or a woman of religion. Maybe you've come here tonight thinking you're good enough to get to heaven. Maybe you say, but I'm trusting the Ten Commandments. I live the best kind of a life possible. I'm doing the very best I can. I put my money into the collection box. And if my neighbor is sick, I do the very best thing I can to help my neighbor, to show my friends, even my relatives, and even my enemies, I try to show kindness to them. Is not that good enough? Would not those things, those qualities, gain me entrance into the presence of God? My friend, never. Never. God says, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Oh, my friend, tonight, have you discovered yet you're a sinner? What a wonderful thing it is when a man or woman, or a boy or girl says, I'm a sinner, I have sinned against God. I'm a sinner, I'm a lost sinner, I'm a guilty sinner, and I'm a hell-bound sinner. Oh, dear friend, I earnestly ask you tonight, I don't stand here to preach a sermon, God forbid, but I stand here to warn men and women who may be in this room without Christ that there's a hell at the end of every Christ-rejecting life, and there's no religion under heaven can save your soul. Absolutely no religion, no good life, no good works, no kind deeds, no charity, nothing can save you, absolutely nothing, but the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the Savior of sinners. I read recently a story that I enjoyed so much of a poor woman in India who discovered by the grace of God that she was a sinner. And this poor woman came to the conclusion that if only there was a prince who would stand between her and God, maybe then, she said, maybe then I could have some kind of peace in my soul with God. But God heard and read that woman's heart, and he sent to that house, that poor, humble house, one of his servants, who had with him the precious word of God. And he turned to the first chapter of the Gospel by Matthew, and he said to this poor woman, allow me to read this chapter to you. And as she read the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, down through those names of all those different men of the Old Testament, down Abraham and David down the line, the woman said, this must be the prince that I'm looking for. This must be the prince. What a wonderful person he must be. And at last he came to the 21st verse and read these words, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And she said, not only a prince, but I found a Savior. I found a Savior. Friends, is that person your personal Savior? Is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, your personal Savior? I want to appeal to the boys and girls here who have Christian mothers and fathers. Is that person your Savior? Have you received into your heart and life the Son of God? Is the Lord Jesus precious to you? Does that name of Jesus thrill your heart? Do you say, thank God he's my Savior, my personal Savior, my sins are gone? Oh, dear friend, tonight, here we find Saul of Tarsus down on the earth, down on the ground in the presence of God. And there he is, trembling. I wonder if you ever trembled. I wonder if there's a man in this room tonight or a woman who ever trembled as they saw themselves in the presence of God. And they stood there or lay there or kneeled there trembling in the very presence of Almighty God. Friend, if you only knew, if you only took 5 minutes of time to think about these things. But the devil today uses amusement, which means the word amused means not to think. And the world is full of amusements, so men have no time to think about eternal matters. You know, we as men and women, we think time is very, very important. And we think eternity means nothing. Eternity is only a place to go when we die. But in the meantime, time is so important. Money is so important. Reputation, getting on in the world is so important. But God says no. Time means nothing. Eternity is what counts with God. And my friend, you and I have to live for eternity. Just imagine, eternity. We have to live on and on. And so it would stagger the imagination if we were to say 10 billion times 10 billion times 10 billion years from tonight, you and I will be living either in the glory with Christ or in hell with the devil and the damned. Isn't it time, my dear young man, young lady, older man or older lady, that you thought about these things, eternal things? Saul of Tarsus, the man of religion, was stripped of everything he had in the presence of God, and he found he was a sinner. And that day on the Damascus Road, Saul of Tarsus received Christ as his personal Savior, and he preached in the synagogues that Jesus Christ was Lord. He was the Son of God. He presents there in his ministry the Savior of sinners. Well, you may say, that's true. I believe that's true. But what about my sins? How does God forgive me my sins? How is it possible that there's a holy God, and I'm so unholy, and I'm a sinner? How can God forgive my sins? My friends, only in one way. God must judge. God must punish your sins. And thank God in the gospel, the good news, we tell you this, that at the cross, God has judged sin. Isn't that wonderful? And God has judged sins at the cross in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who there on the cross was made sin for us, who knew no sin, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And who on that cross bare our sins in his own body on the tree. My sins, my friends, were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Who placed them there? Did I? Never. The God against whom I sinned, you'll pardon me speaking personally, the God against whom I sinned placed my sins on the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago. And on that cross, he bore my judgment. And now, my friends, the Lord Jesus bowed his head on the cross, having said those words, "It is finished." It's all finished. My sins are gone, washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I speak reverently. God himself says, I'll remember them no more forever. He's blotted them out. And they're gone for eternity. God himself has forgiven me my sins. And now sudden death means sudden glory. My friend, this Wednesday, I sat in the funeral parlor in Montreal. Well, our beloved brother here tonight gave a faithful gospel message. Sitting in that room, I know, were men unsaved. I know that one of the vice presidents of a large railway company sat in that room unsaved, and he heard the gospel. He heard of a Savior's love. He heard of the power of God to cleanse him from his sins. He left that room guilty. If he wasn't saved that day, he left that room. That man's salary, I suppose, is $40,000 a year. What does it mean? Nothing, nothing. My friends, without Christ, he's a pauper. And he's on the way to eternal judgment. What about you tonight? Maybe your salary's not $40,000. Maybe it's only $4,000. Maybe it's only $5,000 or $10,000. But tonight, you're a sinner. Oh, I want to bring you tonight into the very presence of God. And there, see yourselves as a sinner. See yourself sinking down under the judgment of God into hell. And then to tell you that God loves you. And God says he wants to save you tonight. He wants to bless you. He wants to be your friend, your God, your Lord, your Savior. What must you do? Must you pay money? No, my friend. All the money in this world wouldn't buy that salvation. God wants you to accept from him that salvation, to thank him for it. He doesn't want you to buy anything. He doesn't want you to do anything except to own yourself as guilty. You know you're a sinner. You know you're guilty. Many a time I sat in the gospel like this, and I heard by the grace of God the solemn words that I speak to you, that I was a sinner. And as I sat in that room, I knew, my friends, I knew I was going to hell. I knew it, and I believed it. Do you believe that? Is there somebody in this room tonight that's not saved? Do you believe you're on the way to hell? Do you believe you're lost? Do you believe that you're guilty? Do you believe that you're a sinner before God? Oh, you can't be sincere if you say you do believe it. You surely can't be sincere, because if you were sincere, you would receive Christ tonight. And you would be able to walk out of that door saying, oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. You'd leave that room tonight a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have this sinner here, this man of religion. Friends, I want to say before I turn to the second man, men and women today are leaning on religion. They say, I trust. I leave my spiritual welfare in the hands of my clergyman or my preacher or my evangelist, whatever it may be. But you would not leave your money or your diamond ring, or your gold watch, or your furniture, or your automobile. It's worth so much that even God himself can't estimate the value of your soul. You leave in the hands of your spiritual advisor. That man may not believe the Bible. He may not even believe in the finished work of Christ. He may sneer at the gospel, but you leave your soul in his hands. My friend, I say, awake tonight. Awake and face this fact. Where will you spend eternity? There are but two destinies, heaven with Christ and hell without Christ. And who told us about hell? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the only man who ever lived who never told a lie. He warned that man would weep and wail and gnash their teeth. How solemn that is. Oh, how solemn. to be unsaved tonight in this room. Now let's turn over our Bibles to the 16th chapter and find the second man who found himself in the presence of God and he trembled. This man was a jailer. He wasn't like Saul of Tarsus. He was an ungodly man. He was a wicked man. And we see what happened to this man in Acts chapter 16. We find the apostle Paul and Silas arrested in verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." 2,000 years later, in this modern 20th century of ungodliness, we stand here tonight with Paul's message, the very message of Silas, for these men both had the same message. And they said, they were of one mind. Oh, how it must have thrilled their soul, as the Apostle Paul said to this poor man, this hardened sinner, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." What a message that was. That's the message, my friend, for the 20th century. And if the Lord doesn't come, that will be the message for the 21st century. It's God's message. It never changes. There's a Savior for sinners. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's the Lord of glory. And there'll never be another Savior. There'll never be another change, and I speak reverently in God's program to meet the demands of this ungodly age in which we live. The gospel tonight, my friends, is that Christ died for the ungodly, that on the cross of Calvary he died for sinners, that he was buried, and on the third day he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And 40 days later, he ascended back into heaven and sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in the heavens, a Prince and a Savior. And God has made that same Jesus, whom Israel crucified, both Lord and Christ. And here we have the three names brought together. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There's no ifs, no buts, no hopes, no guesses. A positive statement. Here was a jailer, a hardened man, who dared to take these two servants of God, these servants of Christ, and beat their backs and throw them into the inner prison. But my friends, at midnight, the very darkest hour of the night, midnight, these two men prayed and sang praises to God, and the prisoners heard them. What a grand note of praise must have rang through that poor prison that night as those men prayed and they sang their praises to God. My friends, the prisoners heard them, and God shook the prison house. An earthquake struck the prison. Isn't it wonderful when God sends earthquakes into your life, my friends? Earthquakes. Have those earthquakes come to your house? Have they come into your family, those earthquakes that shook the very foundations of your soul? Shook the very foundations of your life? Shook the very foundations of your loved ones, and God has spoken to you in the earthquake, and you've been shaken. Have you trembled under the voice of God? Have you promised when that baby was taken out in the casket and laid in the tomb? Did you promise, I'll turn to God, I'll turn to the Lord now? But the time has erased those memories, and you've gone back to serve the devil. And tonight you've come into this room unsaved. Maybe a hardened sinner. Maybe you use the name of Jesus in blasphemy. Maybe you use that precious name day after day on your tongue in blasphemy. Who knows who's in this room but God? Maybe tonight you are a hardened sinner, and God's going to shake the foundations. We have been praying for you in this back room, and God's going to shake the foundations of your soul. And the jailer trembled, and he called for a light. Oh, when God speaks, man in darkness says, give me the light, give me the light, and God is light. God is light, my friends, and God is love. We all love that little verse, God is love, but men are not too fond of the other verse, God is light. Ah, that light. That light from heaven discovers the sin that's in our heart. God is light. And then God is love. Through that mighty love of his, that great heart, he gave his son. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What a marvelous scripture. My friend, there's nothing in that verse that tells me to turn to any religion in the earth. There's nothing in that verse that tells me I have to be baptized. There's nothing in that verse that tells me I have to take vows or to say long prayers or to turn over a new leaf or to do good work. Believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house. There's a little poem I like so much. It says this, I cannot work my soul to save, for all the work's been done. But I can work like any slave, from love to God's dear son. My friends, you can't work to get salvation. But by the grace of God, if you have salvation, if you have Christ, if you receive Christ tonight, you'll be saved on the authority of the Word of God. That's the only authority in the world today, is the Word of God. The Word of God, my friends, is your authority. It's true and it's faithful. And so the message this man received, as he cried out from the very depths of his soul, trembling as he was, what shall I do to be saved? And the answer came back again from these two servants of God who were of one mind for Christ. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's what I like. Isn't that a wonderful message? My friend, are you sinking down to hell tonight? Are you sinking down into darkness? Listen. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Isn't that wonderful? And then the Spirit of God through the apostle says, and thy house. Oh, what joy came into the jailer's house. And what joy will come into your house? Why, the devil says, how can these Christians be really happy? How can these fellows with their Bibles be really happy? You know, the men of the world honestly believe that's true. I'll tell a personal story, if you'll pardon me, of a man who worked with me for many years. And he came to me one day in sincerity, and he said to me, "How can you be happy? How can you be happy? You only have a Bible and prayer, talking about Jesus, talking about these kind of things, singing hymns, going to Bible readings, going to the prayer meeting. How can you be happy?" And we said this by the grace of God. Looking him right in the face, we said, "I know I'm a happier man than you are. My friends, I tell you the truth. That man turned and walked away. He knew I was telling the truth. His master, the devil, has since brought disgrace into his life. And he's lost his job where he worked for 35 years. What kind of a master is that? He's a bad master. What is his name? Satan, the devil. We stood in the Walla Walla jail looking through the cell doors of those men behind those bars. And I said, 'Gentlemen, what kind of a master have you got? Where has he put you? Your faces have got blood on your faces. You're marked by sin. You're behind the bars. But I have a good master.' Oh, what joy and happiness and peace that blessed Savior has brought into my life. Blessed be God. I tell you, the only people in this world tonight that have a right to be happy, that have a right to smile, are Christians. No unsaved man or woman has any right to smile. They have no right to laugh, because a moment from now they may be in the very presence of God in their sins. This time tomorrow night, your body may be cold and silent in your casket. Tomorrow night, young, you say, 'I'm only young. I have 50 years to go.' How do you know you have 50 years? You may only have 50 seconds to go. God says, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. My friends, won't you please face this tonight? I plead with you. I plead with you young people tonight. Be not deceived. Be not deceived. This world is coming under judgment. This world is coming under the judgment of God. I advise you not to believe the politicians of the 20th century, who promised that in a few years, war will be gone. I was standing talking to a Jew the other day, and he said, 'You know, the day is going to come when men will control the weather.' And I said, 'I don't believe it, sir. I don't believe it. God controls the weather.' He said, 'Who?' And I said, 'God.' 'You know,' I said to that poor Jewish man, 'who this God is?' And he said, 'No, I don't.' I said, 'That God is the Messiah.' He said, 'Sir, we are waiting for the Messiah. We are waiting for the Messiah to come. And it thrilled my soul, my friends, to say Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And he came, and they crucified him and cast him out.' He said, 'But we don't believe that.' And I said to him in the fourth chapter of John, the woman said, 'We know that Messiah comes, which is called the Christ.' And Jesus said, 'I that speak unto thee am he.' 'Sir,' we said, 'the Messiah has come. His name is Jesus Christ the Lord. And he's coming back again to judge this world. But before that, to snatch out of this world every child of God, every blood-bought saint of God, and this world will be left.' What a solemn thing, young man, if you were left behind tonight to be in this world. Just a few weeks ago in the city of Montreal, the police went on strike for 15 hours or so. The city was in chaos. Just imagine, 15 hours, and man displayed the rottenness of his heart, the filth and the wickedness of his heart in 15 hours. What will it be like when the Lord Jesus comes and takes out of this world all his people and the Spirit of God returns to heaven, and man, a corrupt being, a sinner, with all his filth and his wickedness, will be poured out. Men in Montreal, one man told me, I was afraid to go to my house. I was afraid to go to my house. You know, after all, it's supposed to be a civilized land of the north here. He was afraid to go out in the street at night. In 15 hours, the whole city was in chaos. What will it be like when Jesus comes? Young man, young lady who have Christian parents, you will be left behind to be swallowed up in the mass of corruption and sin and violence under the power of the devil. You better receive the Lord Jesus tonight. He's a living Savior, a loving Savior. He was able to save Saul of Tarsus. He was able to save the Philippine jailer. And now in closing, we turn to the third man who also trembled, the hardened, careless sinner of the 24th chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 24. Let us read from the 24th verse of Acts chapter 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Ah, friend, what a solemn thing. God never tells us that Felix had a convenient season. As far as we know, Felix went to hell. As far as we know, Felix, who trembled at the Apostle Paul's preaching, what will Felix do when he stands before God? What will Felix do on that soon coming day when Felix stands before the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God, and before the great white throne? Felix, the emperor of that day, who was in command, will then be a prisoner himself and will look into the very face of Christ. Again, I believe Felix will tremble as he is sent into the lake of fire. What an opportunity Felix had. Was ever a preacher like Paul? You can imagine the Apostle Paul. I suppose his arms were chained. I suppose chains were on his arms. And as he raised his hands, I suppose the chains rattled as the great Apostle Paul raised his arm and spoke of righteousness and spoke to this man of righteousness. And just look at it a moment. Temperance and judgment to come. And as he spoke to that man, we can almost see the scene as Felix sits upon the throne of judgment and he hears this notable servant of God speaking under the very power of the Holy Spirit. And Felix starts to tremble in the presence of God. And my friends, Felix said, after hearing that man preach, after trembling, after finding himself in the presence of God, he said, Go thy way. On some more convenient day, I'll call for you. But you know, my friend, you can't get away with this. Maybe you've rejected Christ for many years. Maybe there's a young man in this room or a young lady, and you've rejected Christ. You said, I was at the conference last year. A year ago tonight, I sat in this very room and I heard our brother Albert Hale preach the very gospel you're preaching. And I got away with it. Another year has gone by and I'm still unsaved. I got away with it. This may be your last chance. My friend, there's a solemn verse in Genesis 6 that says, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. Harden not your heart, dear sinner friend. Don't go out of this hall and say, well, who cares? I don't care. Oh, how solemn it is to think of leaving this world, closing your eyes in death. As I rode in the undertaker's car on Wednesday afternoon, looked ahead of me and saw that hearse, and saw that casket inside that hearse, I just wondered where that man had gone. Oh, how solemn, my friend. That man is gone. If he could come back tonight and stand on this platform, if God gave him 60 seconds to come here and stand on this platform, I wonder what that man would say to you tonight. I wonder what he would say. He would say, I have been in eternity. I warn you. I solemnly warn you, I have been in God's eternity. Friend, what about you tonight? Are you saved? If you're not saved, you're lost. There's no middle class. There's no third place. There's no purgatory. No such a thing, my friend. No such a place. There is a heaven. That door of heaven tonight stands wide open. And the angels of God look down upon this sad scene. And they must, as the little hymn said, angel hosts are musing o'er this sight so strangely sad. God beseeching, man refusing to be made forever glad. All you have to do, young lady, young man, older lady, all you have to do, really, just to bow your head and say, Lord, I come. I just fall into your arms. I believe you died for me. And immediately you will become a child of God. You will be saved on the spot. And if a moment later you dropped off the chair dead, you'd be with Christ for all eternity on the authority of the Word of God. Oh, what a wonderful Savior we have in Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. He's able to save. He's able to save the President of the United States if he's not a Christian. He's able to save the Queen of England. But he also is able to save the garbage man. He's able to save the poor man down in the gutter of sin. And they all have to be saved the same way. The Queen must come with all her wealth. And the garbage man must come in all his poverty. And there's only one Savior. His name is Jesus. He's my Savior. Is he your Savior? Have you accepted that Savior? Have you received from God that joy, that peace, that happiness, the forgiveness of your sins? Are you heaven-bound tonight? Are you on your way to eternal glory? Oh, my friends, for we who are Christians, there's a green light right into the very presence of God, right into the very presence of the glory of God. The light shines green, green. Green the light is as the train dashes down the tracks. The lights turn green. Tell an engineer there's a clear way ahead by the grace of God. There's a green light to heaven tonight. Thank God for everyone that can look ahead to the glory of God. See the blessed, lovely Savior there at God's right hand and say, there's a green light right into the very presence of my adorable Savior. But oh, in the meantime, God's red light shines in the distance. God's red light shines, dear young lady tonight. That light shines for you to slow down, to stop, or you'll perish in hell for eternity. There's a Savior tonight. God can save you tonight. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Reject not that offer, my friends. That may be your last chance. Some of you men tonight here are not young anymore. you're heading for eternity. Maybe you've reached the age of 55 or 60 or 65, and you sit in that chair tonight, you're unsaved. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid, young boy. As we stand here tonight, will you come and take us by the hand and say, the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior? This last summer, a young boy came after the gospel meeting, and he said, with his lips shaking, he said, I want to confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. And the tears ran down his face as we bowed our heads at the back of the hall in Montreal and praised God for another boy who had come to Christ. Will you do it tonight? The hosts of hell will fight you. The hosts of hell will say no. The devil and all the power of hell will be thrown against you. But God stands above it all. And he'll give you the grace and the happiness and the joy if you will receive tonight the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And say as I can by the grace of God, my sins are gone. Heaven is my home. The Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God on the way to heaven, a member of the body of Christ. What glory, what blessing. May God bless his word for the glory of his blessed name. Let us sing the first hymn. We'll rise and sing the first hymn, the sheep, almost persuaded now to believe, almost persuaded Christ. Let us stand, please.